Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Rachel Rambach,
Michelle Erford,
Matt Logan,
and Kimberly Senna Moore.
We are four board-certified music therapists with a mission to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth. Join us each month as we talk shop and share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, listeners, we're going to play this by ear, but Rachel may be taking a bit of a hiatus for a month or so, and for a very, very good reason. Rachel, do you want to tell us how you're doing?
Yes. So at this, the day of this recording, I'm about 2.5 weeks away from my due date, and I have a baby girl on the way. I know I've mentioned that before here on the podcast. So I just saw my doctor yesterday, and she said, well, it could be really any day. So we're just kind of twiddling our thumbs and waiting for baby girl to make her appearance.
It's the waiting game. I'm so excited for you, and this transition, I hope it goes smoothly.
Thank you.
I have to say, I saw some of the pictures that you shared on Facebook with, you know, Parker, and I think you all did a photo shoot at a park recently.
We did.
And
we did.
So cute.
It was just like a random Wednesday night, and I got finished with work early, so we went over to the park, and Zach's cousin, who's a great photographer, took some of those photos, and they're so nice to have now because, you know, Parker's in them, and I've got my big giant belly, so they'll be fun to look back on later.
So you have to go back to that same park in like a month.
Yes. Yeah.
No giant belly, but a little baby girl.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we're really excited. And of course, I'm a little nervous about the transition from one to two, but I think it'll be wonderful.
It will be. And there's some things, I mean, in my experience, some things that are definitely harder about it, especially logistically. But there's some things that are really, really nice too.
Yeah. Yeah. There'll definitely be some challenges along the way, I'm sure. But I think the good will far outweigh that.
Well, we're going to hope to have you on next month, but
yes,
no pressure.
I will do my best to be here.
The 2013 AMTA Member Survey and Workforce Analysis reports that 12% of their members work within the medical surgical population. This turns out to be the third most popular population you will find a music therapist working. How is music therapy being used with hospitalized patients, and what kind of results take place? In this episode 66 of the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast, we are going to talk about music therapy within the hospital environment, including where you'll find a music therapist working, what you may see them doing, and how this treatment benefits clients. So many of us on the roundtable have experience in the hospital setting. So I thought it'd be great to start by going around the horn here and having us all just briefly share how we've worked in a hospital. Kimberly.
Did you just say going around the horn?
Yeah.
I was wondering the same. Same.
Is that like that's a saying.
Is that a thing?
I think so. Yeah. I've heard that before.
Maybe it's just old fashioned.
I like it.
I'll start the horn. Why not? I'm so thrilled with this topic because, I mean, I myself have experience working in a hospital as a clinician. When I was out in Colorado, I not only had a contract with a medical facility in Loveland, and I provided a lot of bedside services, but I also worked as a relief music therapist at Poudre Valley Hospital. I think it's now Poudre Valley Health System or something like that, working on the inpatient rehab unit. So I have some different experiences in a hospital setting, but I'm also thrilled to be talking about this because I've had to think a lot about this area of clinical practice recently, as many of my students at the University of Miami do their practica in we have a couple of medical facilities where we send, in which we place our students. And it's a really uniquely challenging site for them to learn some of these clinical skills. So I've had to spend a lot of time thinking about what it means to practice as a music therapist in a medical facility. What is it they're doing, especially when they see patients just once for a very short amount of time? So I've been an employee in a hospital. I've been a contracted music therapist, and now I'm helping to train, you know, music therapy students in a medical setting. So I'm excited for this topic.
What about you, Matt?
Well, I will echo Kimberly in what she said about it being a challenging practicum placement. And I know that because I just had two practicum students finish up their clinical training at the pediatric hospital.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, there are certainly challenges, but we're talking about experience right now. And my experience is in, originally adult palliative care. I did that for a little while. And now I'm in a pediatric medical setting. So there I work primarily with our inpatient rehabilitation program and hematology oncology. And we provide services also in the pediatric intensive care unit and the neonatal intensive care unit and the general medical and surgical floors.
Rachel?
Well, my experience in the hospital has been very limited so far. I've actually been working on establishing a NICU contract, and I know I've talked a lot about this on the podcast over the last few months because it's been an ongoing uphill battle. But we have had some progress with it, and hopefully, fingers crossed, in the next couple of months, it'll actually come to fruition. But really, my experience has been, the NICU training that I went through last February, and then B, working with the administrative side of the hospital to try to get this contract up and running.
Yeah. And if it's any consolation, Rachel, the contract with the medical facility in Loveland, I believe it took, I wasn't even the one who initiated that. And I think it took 3 years from when the conversation started to when I started working there.
Yeah, the least amount of time I've ever heard of someone starting just working in a hospital, whether it's a program or a contract or whatever, it's a minimum of 2 years.
Okay, that makes me feel much better. I mean, I hate that others have shared in this frustrating experience, but I'm one of those people that once I want to do something, I want to do it right away. And so so this very, very slow, long, drawn out process has not been
not easy,
no, but you know, I'm trying to be patient and realize that there's so many people that need to sign off on this and so many people that we need their stamp of approval, and it's just so much bigger than just me that
Well, get used to it, because it's a warm-up for when you are in the hospital.
Oh, I'm sure.
You need patience when you're working in. Patience and patience. Ha! When you're working in a hospital.
Yes.
No, that's very true. It takes, I mean, you're starting in this one area, and it's pretty continuous education and re-education, which I know is common in most other areas as well, but having worked in a lot of different areas, it seemed to be a little more prevalent in a medical facility.
Yeah, I believe it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, man. But Michelle, you have some experience in a medical setting as well, I believe.
Yeah.
Since we're gonna round out the horn.
Yes. I'm gonna Google that because I did not make that up. But yeah, I've worked in a couple hospitals. I worked at the Florida Hospital in Orlando, and that's where the NICU training takes place sometimes. I think they have a couple locations. But I was there part-time for a year or two, and then I also worked at Lawnwood Regional Medical Center, which is a hospital in Fort Pierce. And the first hospital I was at, I was part of a music therapy program, and then the second hospital that I worked at, and I was at Lawnwood for maybe like a year or two as well. But at that second hospital, I was a one-person program, the only music therapist there. So I've seen what it's like to have music therapy support within the same walls and not, too, which makes a difference. Now, the AMTA Member Survey and Workforce Analysis Report that I mentioned in the beginning, they classified the medical surgical category to include AIDS, cancer, chronic pain, comatose, medical surgical, and terminally ill patients. And I just wanted to talk to you guys to see if there are any other patients you would include on this list, because frankly, I feel like it is missing out on a lot. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to come up with an all-inclusive list. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what other categories I would add necessarily. You know, maybe I think they're, I don't know. That's a hard one. So I don't think you can ever come up with the right list, because different people will interpret it differently. Do you categorize it by unit? Do you categorize it by diagnosis? Do you know?
Yeah. Like I was thinking, well, why isn't NICU on here? But maybe that's classified as kids, but NICU is only in a hospital. You're not going to have a NICU.
Right. In a clinic.
Yeah. And even like physical rehab wasn't on there, but maybe that is a whole nother department on that list.
I'm interested to hear, Matt, what you think as well, because of all of us, you're the only one who's actively working in a medical facility right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not recording right now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think there are certainly a few things missing, and I can think of experiences I've had in hospitals that that certainly dealt with different types of populations. I'm thinking of specifically, like, mental health can be part of a hospital system. The inpatient rehab that we've kind of talked about, sometimes you'll find even, like, short or long-term dementia care units that are part of an adult hospital. So, yeah, I do think I agree with Kimberly. It would be hard to come up with an all-inclusive list, but it can look, I mean, hospital to hospital, it can look really different with regard to the types of patients that they have and the types of units that they have and how they group those patients together.
Yeah, and I've been at hospitals where they have, and I think it's called different things at different facilities, but a transitional care unit, which
even the different ICUs. Like, we had a trauma Absolutely. ICU and other ones that I can't think of, but yeah.
Right.
Med-surg ICU, I guess, is kind of what it was.
Yeah. Well, and for those who don't know, with the, what did I call it? TCU, a transitional care unit. This is where patients go when they don't need the same intensity of medical support as on other units, but maybe they're waiting to be transferred to a longer-term facility, like a rehab facility, or they need to regain some strength before it's safe to discharge them to home. So it's, you know, it's transitional. It's short-term, but doesn't have the intensity of medical support.
Right. The patient is there. They're stable and everything, but they're really there because they can't go home. They need to be transitioned to a different type of facility, like a step down kind of thing. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Gotcha. You can't go home yet. Got more healing to do, basically. All right. So, and there was one other one that popped in my head. I had a lot of patients who were hurt, had cardiac problems, heart attack survivors, stroke survivors.
I thought you said you had a lot of patients who are hurt.
Them too.
Well, that's what I thought too.
Cardio.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So why even have music therapy in a hospital? And how are you seeing hospitalized patients benefit from music therapy?
This is the fun question.
I know, right? $1 million question.
Well, and because this is where, and I don't know, Matt, if you have this same experience, this is where I also see students and also clinicians who are new to a medical facility really struggle. It's like, when I see a patient just once, what is the purpose of this? What am I here to do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice that as well, Matt?
Yeah. Yeah. There's certainly a challenge to it that that is that's unique to the hospital. Because like you said, you might just see someone once, but then that kind of, so what are the reasons that we might see someone once? You might ask, what kind of work can you do in one session? But actually, it turns out to be quite a lot. And you can change someone's entire hospital stay with one music therapy session, or their impression of that stay, and how they're doing for it. You can change their entire day, actually. That might look like some sort of relaxation intervention where you're helping someone calm down. It might be just providing some music in a very sterile environment and making it more human for them. Mm-hmm. It might be kind of using the music to change the environment and just make it a warmer, more pleasant experience. But then that has therapeutic benefits to it also. It's not just entertainment.
Right, absolutely. When I, as I see it, it's probably one of the few services that a patient will get or experience in a hospital where really the point isn't to... You're not, as a music therapist, you're not going in saying, okay, I'm going to do this. You're going in and saying, okay, what does the patient need? How can I meet their needs in this moment? And a lot of time it has to do with reducing pain perception or managing their pain, reducing their anxiety. Sometimes it's about providing emotional support or social interaction or even spiritual support. And not just for the patient as well, but if families are there. You're providing that as well for the families and helping, almost sometimes feels like if you're creating a bridge between the patient and the family and bringing more of their typical relationship back, as opposed to the, hey, my loved one is a patient here. Right. There's a different kind of interaction that happens when there's somebody's a patient.
And music therapy in the hospital setting, that is the treatment that will bring that whole person-centered circle to a close within that environment. That patient is seeing so many different staff members in one day, let alone their entire visit. And the great thing about music therapy is that staff member, we'll say maybe you have someone that started out coming to the ER because of a car accident. Then they go in the trauma ICU. Then they go step down into just general, a medical room. And then they move on to their on-site rehab center. They're going to see so many different staff members, from the surgeons to the doctors to the nurses on each unit to their different therapists. The music therapist is the only person on that team that can travel from each of those departments. And so that is the person, I was going to say their social worker, but not necessarily. And so the music therapist is a really important person in their treatment team. And the therapy is the only therapy involved that can help travel and grow and bring process to the individual, both on an emotional level and on their overall physical level. So if there's any workplace, hospital, a medical center that is really set, as they really should be, on whole health treatment, whole person treatment, they need a music therapy department, period. Because that's the only thing that can provide that.
Hear, hear, and well said, Michelle. They need it. Yes, they do.
In the hospital setting, they call that continuity of care, when you can have someone follow basically from the beginning of the story to the end to discharge. And I find that is especially helpful with pediatric patients. I mean, it was always nice with adult patients too, and it's very much appreciated there. And I just think with our pediatric patients who have a little bit harder time with all of the changes and the just the lack of predictability, having someone who is just always following up and also who's there to do things that on the surface level are not really that medical or don't appear to be. You know, when you walk in with a guitar, it's different from walking in with a stethoscope or a syringe or a little cup full of pills. Right. You know, so it's nice to have a person like that who can support someone through their entire hospital journey, like you were talking about, Michelle.
Mm-hmm. I love some of those phrases you brought in, Matt, about, you know, being part of the hospital story from beginning to end. It's a really beautiful way to think about it.
It's an amazing way to be able to support families. And in fact, I think I've got a video from the hospital where, and I, we can put it in the show notes because it's up on YouTube. It's something that the patient like approved and helped make. But basically, I, you know, started seeing a patient who came in on the helicopter and was intubated and was in the intensive care unit and who eventually progressed through our rehab program and was in the hospital for like 4 months. And, you know, each – the goals changed, but the support was the same. And it's a nice video because it does show that progression and that continued support from – really critical acute illness to nearly walking out of the hospital.
Please do. I want to see that mm-hmm. video. Please do put it in the show notes.
Okay. I'll provide That's it. Fantastic. And interestingly, with this particular patient, she was especially outgoing, a teenager, and we ended up doing a lot of singing and recording. But just last month, we played a hospital benefit in front of a couple thousand people. Like they asked her to come back and play because of this video. And this is an opportunity that she wouldn't have ever had. And it was it was amazing because even after her discharge, the story is continuing. And her involvement with music and music therapy is continuing.
I just got goosebumps cool. three times as you told that story. Wow.
It was pretty cool.
Well, and I don't know if you've noticed this too. So, I mean, obviously we go in and it's client-centered care, but I think we'd all agree that we also reap some personal rewards from the work that we do. And I have to say some of my most emotionally memorable moments occurred in a medical setting.
Yeah, you know, I concur with that.
Yeah. There are a lot of moments, obviously, but some of the most the ones that really stand out to me occurred in a medical setting.
Do you care to share any of them?
Well, it's them,
keep them fresh.
Yeah, they're hard to some of them are hard to describe. It's more just the what happened and transpired between people in a moment that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that emerged because of the music that happened in that moment. And, you know, I'm thinking of one session and it was with a mother, and she was actually a little older than me at the time. And she did end up passing later. I actually played at her family asked me to come and play at her memorial service, which was a huge honor. Mm-hmm. And that was after I had one session with her. And the family was there and it was, I think as I'm thinking of these moments, there were moments where the emotional processing was initiated and I didn't go in knowing that it had to, but that's what ended up happening. And it's a pretty powerful experience to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. And that you're reminding me of something that just as a professional music therapist, as a clinician, my experiences in working in the hospital setting was what really kind of turned me on to professional self-care and professional supervision, because it was really, I enjoy that work in working in that environment, but that was the place where a lot of lint stuck to me, and I really needed to process those feelings with someone else. Because one thing about working in a hospital, everyone is sick. Everyone has a problem. And whenever you have a patient or a client, there's going to be something to work on, but it's just, I mean, hospitals are always full and it's because something happened and no one wants to be there and that kind of thing. And being around all those emotions of your, from yourself and your patients and your colleagues at work, you really need to have self-care and professional supervision on your mind.
Hear, hear. So I'm curious, Rachel, and hearing all this, I imagine, you know, you're looking to get some music therapy work going, happening in a medical facility. What are some of the things you're thinking and listening to all of this?
I'm honestly just excited to bring music therapy to a place where I think it's very much needed. And especially after witnessing that during my training at Florida Hospital, and like Matt was talking about with the families and seeing how the families were affected and just kind of that additional piece that that music therapy brought them when their infants were receiving music therapy in the NICU, I want to be able to do that too. And I want to be able to provide that for families. I know, you know, what a an experience it is just to have a baby in general. So to have a baby in the NICU, I can't even imagine. And so that's something that I'm really just eager to jump right in and do. And I think it, listening to you all talk, it just makes me that much more impatient.
Oh no! I know. Rachel's gonna get on the email this afternoon.
I think you should have a baby first, though.
Yeah, I mean that might be a good idea. That might be a good idea. But
One thing at a time, Rachel.
I know. That's not my forte, though. I like to you know do everything all at once.
You jump in.
Yes.
It's one of the things we love about you.
Oh, I know.
The hospital environment is big and busy, and it can be very intimidating for a one-person music therapy program to navigate the system. So we will be sharing tips and secrets that we wished we had known before we began working in the hospital environment over on our membership site, musictherapypro.com. This pro conversation is only available to our pro community, who also have access to a members-only forum, resource lists, videos, exclusive podcasts, and discounts. CMTE courses are also available to community members at no additional charge. At Music Therapy Pro, we've done the hard work already. Now we're sharing our secrets with you. Join the community at www.musictherapypro.com.
And for this month's cool resource of the month, we bring you our newest Pro Perk partner, Session Cafe, brought to you by Joe and Jordan. Session Cafe, it's a membership site filled with themes and songs that will help you create very vibrant older adult sessions. And she has more than 20 different themes to find one that you can utilize with the older adult population that you serve. So you'll open a list of songs, discussion materials, and more to help you plan. And you can find out more at www.sessioncafe.com. And as a bonus, Music Therapy Pro members can currently receive a 40% discount.
Wow, 40%. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a really good deal because that's a monthly membership. So that's like every month you get that discount kind of thing.
Oh,
that's
man.
Awesome. So
it's worth checking out. I would definitely check it out.
Well, we also want to give a shout out to our other Pro Perk partners. Music Therapy Pro members receive discounts on products and services from Metro Music Therapy's paper, Music Therapy eBooks, Music Therapy mailings, Wholesome Harmonies Music Therapy, A Perfect Lullaby, the Music Therapy Research blog, Listen and Learn, and the Music Therapy Maven. Oh, and Bear Paw Creek, and now Session Cafe. So thank you for your support.
And we have just one announcement this month, and that comes from me. I have a brand new songbook collection that I would love to share with all of you listeners. It's called Ring, Sing, Strum, and Drum. And if you can imagine, based on that title, it's all instrument songs for kids. And I cover so many different instruments, everyday instruments like rhythm sticks and shakers and drums, but also lesser used ones like kabasa and kazoos. And so you'll just have to go check it out. You can go to listenlearnmusic.com. And that songbook collection includes not only the PDF with all of the sheet music for the songs, and there are 12 of them, but also the MP3 tracks and instrumental tracks for all of those songs. So check it out, listenlearnmusic.com.
Thank you for joining us. To see the show notes, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com. If you like this podcast, take your skills to the next level by joining the Music Therapy Pro community. For only $17 per month, you will get unlimited access to CMTEs, in-depth clinical skills podcasts, and other invaluable resources designed to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth.